There's a place in New York where you can walk through the actual front doors of the world's most famous recording studio, Abbey Road. Through those doors, past the Beatles, Pink Floyd, Radiohead, and countless other rock giants. Where can you find those doors? At the Hard Rock Cafe Times Square. The Abbey Road doors and thousands of other priceless pieces of rock history can be found at Hard Rock Cafes, Hard Rock Casinos, and Hard Rock Hotels around the world. To learn more, visit hardrock.com.
Little Steven's Underground Garage's coolest conversations, presented by Hard Rock Cafe, hosted by the Mighty Manfred.
Coolest Conversations time in Little Steven's Underground Garage. I'm the Mighty Manfred, and my guest today is Louis Cabezas, guitarist in the Dolly Rots. Their latest release is a rarities collection called Down the Rabbit Hole, and it's home to this week's coolest song in the world, Too Fun for My Health. Hi, Louis, how are you?
Hey, I'm good. Very good. How are you?
I am hanging in there. And speaking of like health, well, you know, typically this is where I ask, you know, have you and your loved ones managed to stay healthy since the start of the pandemic? But in this case, I know your better half has been ill recently. How is Kelly doing?
She's on the mend. You know, we avoided
this time
thing,
for
like,
your coolest conversations,
you know, hard
podcast
mode on
presented
Mario
by
Brothers.
Hard Rock and Little Stevens Underground Garage.
So basically, we've been jumping
thanks
through flaming hoops.
Please
to
remember
not
to follow and subscribe
over
and
the last 2 years. I mean,
today
even
I'm
to the
joined
point
by Louis Cabezas.
The few shows that we played were
lead guitarist
vax
in the
mandatory.
Dolly Rots.
So finally we got it from our daughter's preschool.
And their lineup also featured,
and, you know,
like real parents. Kelly
yeah,
Ogden,
just like, I mean, just like grown-ups.
And bass guitar.
So,
the band has got a new
yeah,
album out
Kelly,
on Wicked
Kelly
Cool
got
Records,
the worst
a rarities collection called Down
we
the
are,
Rabbit
of course,
Hole.
Triple vax,
it features our
but
recent
she was
coolest
still,
song in the world.
I mean, it's still later
for
out for 4 or 5 days. So she's having to take a few days off of the radio show.
Conversations podcast.
Yeah.
So
it's a very unpredictable virus, as we all know. So, but she'll be okay. She'll be okay. It just, it happened to get her and not me.
Right.
Apparently, I'm. It doesn't want to touch my body, my system.
Well, please give her our best. And that, I guess I was wondering about that. So you're, so I know you have two young children. So one of the children had it, and Kelly got it from the child. And so you and the other kid have been haven't suffered any type of infection, as far as you know.
Yeah. Well, the kids are fine. They just pet, you know, they just, it went from the preschool to the child and then mainline straight to Kelly. So, yeah, but we figure, you know, it's gonna, you know, a lot of our friends vaccinated or not, you know, you still get it. And then hopefully the vaccine just reduces those symptoms. And that's what we're going with.
Right. Well, just to make it clear to folks too, we're talking about Kelly Ogden. She's both the lead vocalist and the bassist in the Dolly Rots, and also an underground DJ. She's on there Monday through Friday, 4 a.m. to 8 a.m. Eastern. So you got the kids there, preschool. My daughter graduated high school the year the pandemic started, and that was tough on her, you know, tough on a student. But having little kids, man,
yeah,
it's got to be pretty crazy.
Yeah, we're, you know, in a way, we're very well equipped for it because, you know, we're used to the chaos. We take the kids on tour with us. You know, they basically grew up on airplanes and tour buses and hotels of weird situations. So we're used to them, you know, just kind of, you know, being a bundle of energy and climbing all over the walls. So having them at home, you know, at times during this whole thing, or, you know, trying to keep them occupied, it's kind of second nature to us.
Yeah.
So it hasn't been all bad. We've had time to be together as a family and stuff. And so yeah, we just kind of try to look at it through the best lens possible.
Now, this year, is this the Dolly Rod's 20th anniversary this year?
Yeah, you know, officially it is. We haven't really done anything to celebrate it. You know, really, we should be planning some big tour. We're a little hesitant on doing that sort of thing. We are doing some select dates here and there. But yeah, we started the band in 2001, officially. Moved out to LA in 2002. Early 2002, and kind of, you know, things just kind of went from there. It was never our intent to be a rock band for this long. You know, we just kind of started the band for fun and as a joke. and things just kind of happened, you know, just kept working and writing and all that stuff.
Well, how many years went by before you looked over at Kelly and said, can you believe we've been doing this for, you know, blank number of years?
You know, we never really stopped to consider that until we had our first kid. River was born in 2013. And by that point, we were 12 years into this thing. And at that time, we kind of thought, you know, we had to have the thought of, all right, well, is this kind of the end of the band? We have to be parents. We have to be, you know, focused on our kid. We won't be able to travel, et cetera. And then we took him on his first tour. We were supporting Black Flag in Southern California, and we had a 3-month-old with us. And I mean, if you can survive that, you can forge on through whatever. It was a good experience, and we just kind of booked the next tour and took him, and so just continued on. But there was definitely a time when she was pregnant with him. You know, that first pregnancy, you know, we sold our tour van and we thought that was the end. And apparently it wasn't.
it was the end of the beginning.
Yeah, it was the end of the, like, you know, the infancy of our band. And we've kind of, it helped us grow into a much more efficient and I think better unit.
So this new Rarities compilation, Down the Rabbit Hole, does that tie into the 20th anniversary? Or that's just more like a happy accident that the project and the birthday kind of line up?
Totally coincidental. You know, this collection was just, I had a folder on a hard drive over the years that I just kept adding to. And it was like B-sides, one folder of B-sides, one folder of random covers that we did, you know, here and there, you know, we'll just record a song. And it was just kind of sitting there looking at me. And at the end of last year, I realized, you know what? We haven't put out anything this year. We should put something out before the end of the year just to have something new out there for people. Right. And so I called the label. I called Wicked Cool, Stevie's label. And I talked to Dennis and I was like, hey, would you mind if I used one of these songs that was supposed to be on a Wicked Cool release? That song was Too Fun for My Health. As a, you know, just a little B-sides thing, maybe we just put it out through Bandcamp or whatever. And he's like, well, do you want to do an official release? And I was like, I guess so. And he said, great, have all your materials in 5 days. So we threw together the artwork, we got it mastered, everything done, ready to go, and, you know, all the stuff you need for a release in less than a week. And
wow.
Yeah, but all the songs are there, and most of these, in fact, almost all of them haven't been released in like an official capacity. Mm-hmm. So yeah, that just for one reason or another, they didn't fit that particular thing we were working on at the time, you know? So it doesn't mean they're not good. It just, it, you know, track, you know, whatever, Too Fun for My Health didn't fit on Daydream Explosion, for example, or any other single. And so, you know, we just kind of accumulated these songs over 20 years and it's time to unleash them.
That's right. The Kraken of Rock.
Yeah, it's good to, it feels good to put it out there though, because I feel like we're just kind of like, you know, letting it all out, putting it out in the open, and you know, from here we kind of start with like a clean slate.
Well, you know, most of the tracks I was able to figure out where they come from. There are a few I want to ask you about. Of course, the first would be the album's opener and our coolest song in the world this week, Too Fun for My Health. And then you mentioned that was supposed to have been on Daydream Explosion, and it was left off because it just didn't, what did you just say? Something that didn't feel right?
So, yeah, so it was written at around the same time at the tail end of the writing for Daydream. And then we recorded it at the same time that we recorded the Make Me Hot single. Okay. So we did Make Me Hot with the B-side of a cover of Lisa Loeb's Stay. And so this song was recorded at the same time. And, you know, we figured, okay, we'll put it out as a single to coincide with a tour. This is like early 2020. And then we all know what happened to tours in 2020.
Right.
You know, so it just kind of slipped through the cracks. And the intent was, okay, it's called Too Fun for My Health. It wasn't written to be about the pandemic, but apparently it's totally relevant to the pandemic on accident.
Yeah.
And we always kind of figured, okay, by the time this song comes out, we won't have to worry about any of this stuff. You know, we'll be able to go, there's a vaccine, we'll be able to go out, we'll be able to go to rock shows, we'll be able to plan tours, we'll be able to go see our friends, whatever. And here we are 2 years later and the song is still relevant.
You know? You wrote a classic.
We unintentionally wrote a song that just ties into the times.
What is the oldest track on the collection?
Oh man, I think it is, it's Nobody Else. There's a song called Nobody Else. It was an alternate version of a track off of our first album.
Okay, Eat My Heart Out.
Eat My Heart Out. There's the official album version of Eat My Heart Out. You know, there is an album version of Nobody Else on Eat My Heart Out. This was a different take, different session altogether. We actually went in and tried to re-record Nobody Else. So this is the re-record that we thought was going to be like way better. And it's not necessarily better. It's just different because this version is kind of a little bit more produced. The one that ended up on the album is more raw, but that first album was a raw album. So we felt like this version didn't really fit on that album. This, you know, we were actually going to considering putting this on the next album, you know, but again, like we have so many songs in our back catalog and we're continuously writing. So, you know, you always kind of think that your latest song is your best song. So,
isn't it?
I mean, hopefully.
Yeah.
So yeah, Nobody Else. And that was written, I mean, that was early. That was like 2002. You know, that was early 2002. That was right after, that was before we moved to LA. Like, we were baby band.
Yeah. Well, so that Nobody Else was, there was a version of that on that Lookout Records album.
Correct.
Is it Eat My Heart Out or Eat Your Heart Out?
Eat My Heart Out. That's Kelly's weird play on words that she does.
Right. And that, so that was Lookout. And but then there are a couple of tracks on the album I wanted to ask you about that got, so I was looking this stuff up, but the interwebs, the internet tells me that there's some other Lookout album called More Biting Please, and the tracks Rebel Angel and Valentine's Day are on that, but I don't see that More Biting Please listed in any official discography. What was More Biting Please?
So More Biting Please was supposed to be our second album. So we went in, we found a producer, his name is Jacques Waite. He's from Minneapolis. And he had done a record for a band called the Soviets that I really liked. So I reached out to him. I was like, hey, man, we have to do a record, like our second record. It's going to be on Lookout. You know, can we do this with you? And he said, sure. So he flew out to LA. We cut the full album. It was going to be called More Biting, Please. And then Lookout Records folded. The record label collapsed. And for people that don't know, Lookout was the label that, you know, Green Day put their first albums out, Rancid, Operation Ivy, you know, the Donnas. It was our dream label. And we had finally put out an album through them. And we had just got done recording the second one, and the label people called and they're like, hey, we're no longer going to be a label anymore. You know, and at the time it was a major setback for our band because we had kind of worked our way up to put out, you know, a legit album through a legit independent label, and to have the label disappear was pretty rough. So what we ended up doing was, you know, that kind of shelved More Biting, Please. And but the good thing is we just continued to write and record. Eventually we recorded like 8 more songs. We combined them with a bunch of songs for More Biting, Please. It became Because I'm Awesome. Kelly handed Because I'm Awesome as a demo to Joan Jett at Warped Tour. Mm-hmm. And then Joan Jett signed us to her label, and we put out Because I'm Awesome through Joan Jett's label. So everything worked out in the end, but it meant that we had some leftover songs from the More Biting, Please sessions that were never released. So that's what those two are. Very same cool. Times Because I'm Awesome, basically. It's a weird story.
One thing I was not, another track I wasn't able to figure out where it comes from. It's fairly early on in the track listing of the Down the Rabbit Hole, Vibration. Well, when did that get recorded?
So that was recorded in Minneapolis with our main producer, John Fields. And it was during the same sessions as Whiplash Splash. So I think some listeners of the station might know the song Babbling Idiot. That song, it's from the same sessions as that. And that one, you know, it was just one of those that just, we felt like we had to trim a couple songs off that record, off Whiplash Splash. And that one's actually cool because, so John Fields, his uncle, I want to remember his name. What's his uncle? He just calls him Unk.
Well, we could go with Unk, I guess.
No, his uncle is like Lips Inc., right? So, you know, the Funky Town?
Funky, yeah, the song, Let Me Take You to Funky Town.
Yeah, so his uncle like basically devised that song, and he lives in Minneapolis too. Right. So So he came by the studio and actually played drums on Vibration.
Wow.
Yeah. So that song, it's got like a disco beat. Right.
Yeah.
But it is completely like it's an intentional disco beat based on the drummer whose name is Steven Greenberg.
Okay.
Steven Greenberg is our producer's uncle. Steven Greenberg put together the song Funky Town, and he played drums on Vibration, and that's why Vibration is so funky.
Wow.
Yeah.
So I noticed, you know, you guys have done all sorts of cool covers over the years, but one of them I noticed, there's this cover of a Weezer song, Perfect Situation, but it's not on the compilation. Is that because it's an acoustic recording?
Yeah, you kind of nailed that. Yeah, we have a bunch of acoustic covers. And, you know, we just do covers sometimes. We have a Patreon, and so we give them exclusive tracks. And so sometimes we'll do acoustic songs for them, for the patrons. And sometimes we just record stuff just because we're inspired. That song was actually recorded for a fan. You know, a fan asked us to do that song as a gift for somebody else. So we did that. So we have like a catalog of acoustic covers that eventually maybe we release. Maybe I'll call the label and they'll be like, no, let's make it an official release. But yeah, it's fun to reinterpret other people's music. A lot of times we like to take like an acoustic original or a soft original and make it punk rock, or we take a rock song and make it acoustic. You know, you kind of turn it on its head.
You know, we've been talking about the stuff that's on the compilation on Down the Rabbit Hole. And earlier you alluded to the fact that you talked about the single 2020s Make Me Hot. What about a new proper full-length album? Have you been working on a new album?
Yeah, I have. Well, I have a folder. See, I have everything in these folders, these secret folders.
I've heard about these secret folders. Stuff goes into them.
They're just full
and
of
stuff. It percolates for 20 years and then it comes out.
And then it sometimes it percolates for a week. Sometimes it percolates for 20 years. You never know. But me and Kelly, we put together, kind of 2/3 of the way done versions of about 18, 20 songs. And that's no exaggeration. And so it's just going to be a matter of kind of finding the best ones, getting, the demo versions cut, and then going to Minneapolis and finishing them off with our producer, John Fields.
Right. Let's go focus again on John. So he's up there in Minneapolis and he had done the Soviets record that you liked.
Oh no, that's Jacques. So Jacques.
So I got my Jerry's mixed up. So
we are very, very tied into Minneapolis for some weird reason. We're not from there. We don't have any family there. We just all of our musical sort of it's our musical hub for some weird reason.
So let me get his name straight. I'm sorry that I got Jacques, but it's John Fields.
Yeah, John Fields.
What got you connected with John? Can you remind me about that? Because I know you've done a lot of work with him.
Oh, yeah. We've been working with John Fields since 2003. The way we met him, this is interesting. It's weird also. We went out for a random commercial audition in Los Angeles in 2002, because that's what you do when you're in, a go-get-em type young band. You're like, I'll go out for an audition. So we got a tip that they were taking these random auditions for, we didn't know what it was. We went to a office building in Santa Monica with our guitars and waited in a lobby with a bunch of other rock bands, some of which we, recognized from the scene, local scene, whatever. They called us into this conference room. There were like five people at this table. We plugged into like these little amplifiers. Our drummer got behind the drum kit and they were like, play us your worst song. And we said, okay, we'll play our worst song. As in like your roughest song, your most garage bandy song.
Yeah.
So we did. And about an hour later, we got a call and they said, hey, we want to pick you to be in the new Hewlett Packard national ad campaign. And we said, what? Because we were just some scrappy little punk band. We had no idea what that even meant. Right.
Right.
So they told us to be at Capitol Records Studio B 2 days later, so they could record the 30-second version of our song, Feed Me, Pet Me. And we said, all right, sure thing, we'll be right there. So we're just this little green band. We had no idea what we were getting into. So we walked into Capitol Records 2 days later, and this guy walks up to me. He was the guy, what I thought was just the studio tech, the session guy.
Yeah.
And he's like, hey, how you guys doing? My name's John Fields. I'm like, hey, how are you? And he's like, we got all day here. After we get done with this 30-second thing, you want to record an album? And I said, sure. Because up to that point, we were fully ready to record an album. We were playing in LA like 3 times a week. We had like 15 songs that were just, we were ready to go. We just didn't have the money to record an album.
Right.
And so, yeah, the ad execs were there. We recorded our, crappy 30-second version of this song that ended up being a commercial that they played before Lord of the Rings, like in the theater. And so the ad executive guys are like, all right, well, you got 4 hours. I mean, you guys do whatever you want. I mean, we rented out the studio for the day. We were like, cool. So we recorded 12 songs in 4 hours, and that became our first album, Beat My Heart Out. and we've been working with John ever since.
Wow, that is so cool. That is such a cool story.
But it was complete happenstance. We didn't know who he was, and it ended up he was a genius, up and coming producer. He had done Andrew WK's first album, and he went on to do like Jonas Brothers and Miley Cyrus and Demi Lovato and all that stuff. But through all of his success, he has continued to work with us and always been like always bringing the best out of us.
Right, and he's also played drums on a lot of your albums too.
He's essential to, he's our George Martin. That's what I always tell him, because he loves the Beatles. Yeah. So I know that resonates with him. But I mean, yeah, he's in the band as far as I'm concerned.
Well, thinking about the band, I know you guys have got a tour starting maybe in March. Are these like dates that you've been pushed off and pushed off and pushed off?
And
now you're going to try and do them.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. Okay. So some of these dates were supposed to happen in March 2020. You know, the some of the tickets are carrying over from, you know, like Chicago, Minneapolis, Indianapolis. These are all Midwest dates. And so they originally were rescheduled for fall of 2020. Then they were scheduled for 2021. And now we're in 2022. And I mean, I hope they happen, because I feel like we, at this point, we owe these people some shows.
Right. And you then know? You're going to be going overseas to the UK, I believe, in April.
Yeah, the so we are very good friends with and basically family with Bowling for Soup. We spent a couple years supporting them. Yeah, we lived on their tour bus with them. So they are our brothers. And so they're going to the UK. It's a huge tour. It's in April. It's with us and Lit, you know, the band Lit. They have that huge song, My Own Worst Enemy. And so yeah, that's going to be a big deal. And it's another thing where, you know, we booked it and we're just hoping that it all happens. But we love the UK. They like us over there. They love rock music. They love pop punk. They, you know, we have a solid fan base over there. So we're really looking forward to that.
Oh, sounds great, man. I got my fingers crossed for you for these travels. So you mentioned Bowling for Soup, and that ties into this next thing I want to talk about. So there's a total of 24 tracks on Down the Rabbit Hole. Pretty hard to pick just one more to play right now, but I have, and it's a little bit impossible. Impossible. And that dates back to like this 2012 split release with Bowling for Soup and another group called Patent Pending.
Yep.
One Big Happy. That's the name of the album, right? One Big Happy.
Yeah. Yep. That was Jarrett's idea. Jarrett from Bowling for Soup. He's a singer, you know, he's the guy. And he had an idea, which was a great idea. It was, okay, we're going on this tour. It's us, Bowling for Soup, Patent Pending. Let's each cover one of each other's songs and then do an original song, right? So our Patent Pending cover was Little Miss Impossible. And because that was our favorite song of theirs. You know, we basically picked our favorite songs of each other and covered them. And it's a really good original song that, you know, I feel like a lot of our fans haven't heard because it was on this kind of obscure UK comp. And that we feel like it rocks.
Oh, I agree 100%. I want you to tell, so we were familiar with Bowling for Soup, but I wasn't or not familiar with Patent Pending. Tell me something about those guys. Where are those guys from? And
oh, the Patent Pending guys are from, so they're from Long Island. And they're actually, we've known them, oh my gosh, we did Warped Tour with them in like 2006. You know, they were on that Warped Tour. I remember them being on that. They're just really good guys, like the really good band, solid band, put on a great show. You know, they're just part of this family, this Bowling for Soup, Dolly Rotts family. We're all kind of, we've all seen each other with our shirts off. And, you know, we've all played awesome shows together. And actually, Rob from Patent Pending now, he's the permanent bassist in Bowling for Soup. You know, we're all family.
Very cool.
it's a good feeling. You know, when you can cover a band, it's one thing to cover a band, and it's another thing to cover a band that, you know, you're that close to. Because you fully understand who they are as people. And, you know, and it helps when you like somebody. You know, when you do somebody's music and you know they're genuinely like a good person and you like them and you can hang out with them and you would trust them with your kids and stuff, it just makes it better.
Lewis, thanks so much for speaking with me today on our Coolest Conversations.
Thanks for having me. I love doing these. It's been a while. So, I'm just grateful that we can continue to put out music. And yeah, I love talking to you guys.
Well, you keep putting out music, brother, man, and we'll keep chatting.
Cool. Yeah, for sure. Yeah, we'll be here. Got another 20 years.
All right. Well, we just like took care of the first 20. Now we're working on the second 20.
Yeah, it's fine. You know, eventually we'll just have our kids replace us in the band. So you'll just be talking to my son in my place.
Oh, I think that's great. That's a cool idea. Well, we're going to head back down the rabbit hole now to hear Little Miss Impossible. It's the Dolly Rots in Little Steven's Underground Garage. Just heard some of Little Miss Impossible from the Dolly Rots here in Little Steven's Underground Garage. Track is on their latest album, Down the Rabbit Hole, out now on Wicked Cool Records. Thanks again to their guitarist, Louis Cabezas, for speaking with me today. And thanks also to Sammy Semenza for producing our Coolest Conversations podcast presented by Hard Rock here in Little Steven's Underground Garage.
As a child, Otha Ellis Bates McDaniel taught himself to play guitar, but he never found one he liked, so he built his own. Soon after, his rectangular-shaped axe with an old TV dial for a volume knob could be heard on radios everywhere as he launched the beat heard round the world. He was Bo Diddley. His handmade guitar is at the Hard Rock Cafe in Times Square. Thousands of other priceless pieces of rock history are at Hard Rock Cafes, casinos, and hotels around the world. To learn more, visit hardrock.com. Don't let it slide, baby, diamond ring.